This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It was nice and neat and simple and fun and entertaining and enjoyable to watch and easy to root for Drew Brees on Monday night. I guess unless you were the Colts, and for them to be officially eliminated from postseason contention after what they've gone through, it's been an up and down year, to be sure, for Indianapolis. And so tough for them losing their franchise quarterback, Andrew Luck, right before the season kicked off. Certainly to go through a bunch of the injuries that they have. But they were right there on the cusp. They were in the mix for a division title in the AFC South. And then, of course, have backpedaled and have lost, what is it, four in a row now. And they were officially eliminated in a game in which they were an afterthought on Monday night. Honestly, if you think about the history and the fact that the 10th anniversary of the Saints Super Bowl was being celebrated on Monday night, well, then, of course, you get why it's the Colts and the Saints. But in this particular game, they were just the victim to get steamrolled. Four consecutive losses, six of their last seven, and now they are officially eliminated. And so it's been a collapse in the second half of the season, a lot for Frank Reich to contemplate. And certainly there will be decisions moving forward. But they were dealt a tough blow. And to be at the midway point of the season, 5-2, was really impressive. And I'm even more convinced now that Frank Reich is not just head coaching material, but above average head coaching material. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So 855-212-4227. The last time we were talking about Saints and Colts in a game of this magnitude, it was, in fact, 10 years ago, and it was Peyton Manning who was the quarterback for the Colts. And it was a Super Bowl, and it was this culmination for the Saints franchise of coming back from where they were and where the city was after Hurricane Katrina. And we had talked about at the time, and we continue to over the years as we have the occasion, we talk about sports and the power they have to heal, to bring people together across all walks of life, to give us a reason to cheer, a reason to smile, a reason for joy. That Super Bowl victory 10 years ago was so much more than just a football game, so much more even than a championship. It was healing salve for the city of New Orleans, for Saints fans who had been through so much. And not just in the city, of course. There were Saints fans all across that region that was devastated by Hurricane Katrina. And it's kind of interesting to think now, 10 years later, everything that has unfolded. The different Super Bowls that have been won and lost since then, what the Saints have gone through to get to where they are now. Three consecutive 7-9 seasons. It almost seems like a distant memory, and yet it happened. And the Saints had to remake their defense, find a run game, and now look where they are. And yet they still haven't gotten back to the Super Bowl. Now, Peyton Manning has since retired, of course, retiring after his second Super Bowl win. But he and Drew Brees will be forever tied over the past 10 years. And as he was setting this touchdown mark on Monday night, we couldn't help but think back to the message that Peyton recorded a year ago. I tell you what, I laughed so hard this entire show. And if you don't remember the occasion, I actually tweeted the video from 14 months ago when it was Brees chasing Manning for the all-time yardage record among quarterbacks. And so I saved that video on my Twitter and just retweeted it. And so you can go back and you can watch it. But that one gave me chills as well. And then Peyton Manning made me giggle for hours.
Passing yards? Oh, okay. So I still have the touchdown record, right?
He's actually on pace to break that too.
What? Great. Also, let this serve as the congratulations for the touchdown record, because as you can see, I'm very busy. I don't have time to keep doing these videos for you congratulating you. But in all seriousness, Drew, congratulations on this record. You've done it the right way. All your hard work and dedication have paid off. You and I have come a long way since this picture back in 2000 when you were in college and I was in my third year in the NFL. So way to go. Proud of you. Good luck the rest of the way.
Maybe that's why we didn't see a new video after Drew Brees passed his touchdown mark. Unless there's one out there that I haven't seen. Let this also serve as the congratulations for the touchdown record. But my favorite part of that whole thing is, what? What? Oh, Peyton. So, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and if you missed it last hour, if and when Brady also passes Peyton, for the first time since 1973, the top two touchdown leaders, career touchdown leaders, will be active at the same time. Hasn't happened since 1973. Gosh, it's amazing that sports gives us weekly, and I don't just mean the NFL, but weekly, annually, we get this history that we can revel in.
So
the new champions we've had over the last few years, that's also been awesome. And who knows if we'll ever see this kind of a run again. The Eagles, the Capitals, the Raptors. Don't tell me. The Eagles, the Capitals, the Raptors, the Blues, and there are more that people are going to yell at me about because I haven't remembered. Just the kind of wave that we've had in the last 5 years of new teams winning championships has been really awesome.
What?
Oh, of course, the Washington Nationals. The Washington Mystics, they're in there too. What?
What?
Thank you, Peyton. And thank you, Drew Brees. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Now, we have a lot to get to, but I have a non-sports Twizzler Tuesday question. I'm so thankful that Monday is behind me. Oh, it was a doozy. I won't share all the gory details, but trust me, it's a good thing that there is no hidden camera inside my car or hidden camera inside my kitchen. It was one of those days where it seemed like everything I did turned into a giant disaster.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
I did. I do. And I'm really happy to turn the page to Tuesday. So we're getting a jump on our Twizzler Tuesday question. And I saw this online. I thought it was a really cool idea. I kind of think that for Drew Brees, we think we know the answer, right? Especially since the Super Bowl happens in 2020. And so this can't be his answer for 2019. One thing that you're really proud of in 2019... So I know we're coming to the end of a decade, but we'll deal with that when we get there. As we approach the end of 2019 and we get ready to flip the calendar, what's one thing you're really proud of? And I don't mean sports. You don't get to be proud of the fact that the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup. That had nothing to do with you. Unless you work for the St. Louis Blues or you're a member of the team, in which case, congratulations. What's one thing you're really proud of? That you did, that you accomplished, maybe family, friends, a challenge that you conquered, a goal that you met, a dream that you realized. What's one thing you're really proud of in 2019? Isn't that a fun question? I love this question. So thank you to the person that put it on social media. I don't even remember who it was. In fact, I don't think I knew who it was, but I made a mental note. I'm going to borrow that. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's our Twizzler Tuesday question. And also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm not proud of the fact that I just referred to Wayne Gretzky as Walter, who is his dad. Now, I wish I could claim that that's why I said it, but it's not. But a lot of you are, in fact, I don't think I knew what his dad's name was, at least not in this moment. A lot of you are sending me tweets now. Jay on Twitter, real hockey fans remember the great Walter Gretzky. Steven says, Walter is Wayne's father and is just as famous in Canada. And then Bradford says, isn't that Wayne's father? See, I could lie and tell you that's where I got it from, but it's not. I didn't even know I said Walter. It's just, like I said, a blah Monday, a messy Monday, a manic Monday. But very soon it'll be behind us, all of us. 855-212-4227 on Twitter or Facebook. Our question for the night that is unsports related. What's one thing in your life that you're really proud of in 2019? I don't know that the Cleveland Browns are going to be super proud of what they've accomplished this fall. And as much as I still believe that constant change equals constant losing, the more that comes out about the Browns' dysfunction, the more I believe they may have to make a coaching change. And it's not so much because of the football. It's because of everything else. Now, I'm still on the fence. You know, this would be a change for me because I've been saying now for weeks to change when you knew what you were getting with Freddie Kitchens is a bad idea. You've got to give him a chance to grow as a football coach because John Dorsey, Jimmy and Dee Haslam, they knew he was inexperienced. They knew he was green. They knew he was raw. They knew he was wet behind the ears. They knew he had zero experience to draw on. And so to me, that requires patience because you know what you're hiring. If you're going to turn away from Greg Williams, turn away from other experienced head coaches who might have been interested in taking the job, and you're going to go with a guy that you think is the right coach because of his connection with Baker Mayfield, without regard for what else he might or might not be able to do as a head coach, especially when he's learning on the job, well, then you better be prepared to give him time to figure it out, to get comfortable, to learn how to be a head coach. I don't know if that's what the Browns ownership and front office will do, but the more I hear, the more I think they might just need to cut bait. They might not be able to survive this. Have you guys heard the latest report? Now, going back to about a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago, but it was certainly a story week 14 in the NFL. There were reports that Odell Beckham Jr. was on the field in pregame warmups earlier in the season telling players from other teams, yo, come get me. Come get me. In other words, I'm miserable here. I don't want to play in Cleveland anymore. Please tell your front office to come trade for me. Come get me. Rescue me. Get me out of here. Well, now comes the report from Mike Silver of NFL Media that his best friend, fellow wide receiver Jarvis Landry, and other Browns players. So Mike Silver doesn't identify them, only says other Browns players, along with Jarvis Landry, were yelling at the Arizona sideline this past weekend, come get me. I don't know if that's a joke to them, funny because of the reports from a week ago with OBJ. But Landry was also caught yelling back and forth with Freddie Kitchens on cameras during the game. Not to mention they're 6-8. It's a disappointing season. Now I've come to believe that the expectations were far too high, internally and externally. We should never have looked at the Cleveland Browns and thought, I mean, I tried to tell you to pump the brakes on the whole Super Bowl thing, but even that they would have a winning season because they still don't have a winning culture. And maybe we should have known that Freddie Kitchens was going to have a tougher time. And that with all these new players and new personnel, it was going to be a bit of a rocky road. I didn't think it was going to be this bad. But the expectations were clearly too high. You throw in the brawl, they've lost their best defensive player. Really, Nick Chubb is the highlight. I don't think I expected that Baker would regress the way he has. It's been a tough second season for him. Now, Freddie Kitchens was asked about this on Monday during his press conference, so we'll let you hear from him coming up. But man, if this is the case, first of all, if you're a player who wants out and you're telling opposing sidelines and opponents to come get me, I am happy to oblige. You want out? Don't let the doors hit you where the good Lord split you. Get the heck out. I don't care. If you don't want to be here, go. So that to me is a no-no. That's undercutting your team and your coach. But these are just reports now coming from Mike Silver.
Get out of here!
Exactly. You've got to get people in your building who will buy in, all in, want to be in Cleveland. A Joe Thomas. It's unfortunate that he's retired, that he had to retire because of the injury or that he decided to retire, because he's the kind of glue guy that locker room needs. So you'll hear from Freddie Kitchens coming up. Also, Josh Gordon suspended for the sixth time since 2013. The Seattle Seahawks, of course, getting the news from the NFL and then making their own personnel move. And we'll take your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Our Twizzler Tuesday question: what's one thing you're really proud of in 2019? And if you've got some good ones, I will be proud of you too, and I will share them as well on our show.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Two receivers left, and Kenyon Drake behind Kyler Murray in the pistol set. First and goal on the one. Cardinals looking to add to a 7-0 lead. Snap to Murray. Hand off Drake up the middle. And he plows forward into the end zone for the touchdown. Two touchdowns for Kenyon Drake. Cardinals lead 13-0.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Four touchdowns for Kenyon Drake against that Browns defense. That was on Sunday, week 15. And Kenyon Drake is one of our candidates for Monday MVP, though I kind of feel like Drew Brees eclipses all of the candidates. However, the poll is still live, so you can go and vote if you want, or we always allow write-in votes. That's our Monday MVP, and you can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Our question for tonight's show: with Drew Brees breaking the all-time passing touchdown record, and he hopes helping the Saints secure a top seed, a bye, there's a lot for him to be proud of this season and still much to look forward to. But what's something that you've accomplished in your own life in 2019 that you are proud of? I like your responses, and we're going to get to your calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. But as I teased before the break, I want you to hear from Freddie Kitchens for a couple of reasons. First of all, he is talking about this heated exchange, an argument. We'll just call it an argument because people argue. In the fourth quarter of the Cardinals-Browns game in the desert on Sunday, and there was a lot of attention on the animosity there between Jarvis Landry and his head coach. And while I don't typically think that's a huge deal, it seems like the team may be imploding from the inside. To say they've quit to me is a cop-out. Guys are still playing for contracts. Even when you're unhappy, you know sometimes that jobs are on the line. So I think collectively to say an entire team quit is kind of a blanket excuse. But I certainly believe that there are guys who are on the edge of revolting because it's gotten that bad.
I wouldn't change Jarvis for anything. Jarvis is Jarvis plays the game with passion, which I love. He's tough. He's physical. He wants to win. And when you want to win as badly as Jarvis does, sometimes your emotion gets the best of you. But I don't have a problem with Jarvis. He's one of the, you know, he's one of my favorites, the way he plays the game.
One thing I appreciate about Coach Kitchens is he's not going to throw guys under the bus. He is going to have his locker rooms back. He is going to keep things in-house as much as possible. In fact, to the point where he makes decisions that come across as unprofessional. For instance, the Steelers started it t-shirt in public. Right? So he's so fiercely on the side of his guys and his locker room that he even said before the season or when he got hired, if you don't wear brown and orange, you don't matter. We have that somewhere in our system. I mean, this is a company guy. This is a team guy. I have no doubt that he wants this to succeed. I have no doubt that he believes in his players in his locker room. But he's in over his head right now. And the team has had major discipline issues. And I don't mean discipline as in he's going to punish guys, though they have had some of those. But discipline as in lack of discipline in games. The team reflects him. And what we're getting from the team is a lack of discipline, a lack of professionalism, not a standard of excellence, and all that reflects on the head coach. Now, he said after Sunday's loss that he didn't care about his job security. So he did want to clarify what he meant.
I care about my job, all right? I only care, though, about getting better today. That's what I was trying to illustrate. Is I'm only focused on today, on getting this football team to play the best of their ability today and to increase those chances of us getting to that point on Sunday of playing the best that we can on Sunday. Everybody here is focused on that, all right? Dee and Jimmy Haslam and John Dorsey would much rather me be worried about getting our team to play better than worried about my job security.
He's right about that, but those two things are intricately connected. Man, it's been a rough season for the Browns. It's been a rough year for Freddie Kitchens. I don't know if he survives. I no longer am confident that he should. I'm still sort of on the fence. But players from your team telling opponents, come get me. Do you know what that indicates? These guys aren't ready to play. They're not locked in. They don't even care about who wins. They're already thinking about their future and getting the heck out of Dodge. So A, happy to oblige. B, the mental edge has already been handed to the opponent. This is what's happening in pregame. And I hate it so much. I guess I was taught differently. No matter how bad things are internally, you don't air your dirty laundry for the world to see. Whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, whether it's your work. And so it eats at me. It really bothers me if this is what Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry are doing. But you can't ignore the coach's role in it either. If it was just about being 6-8, if it was just about clinging to playoff hopes, which they are still technically alive, though on life support. If it was just about that, I would be on the side of Freddie Kitchens saying he deserves another year. Because you threw him into the fire without proper training. That's on you, ownership and general manager. But if the team doesn't respect him, that's an entirely different issue. That's hard to fix. And we know in pro sports, even in the NFL, it's the athletes who have the power a lot of the time when it comes to these types of personnel conflicts. 855-212-4227. So I want to hear from you. We're going to get to your calls as soon as we get through the update. What's one thing you're proud of in 2019? And I don't care how big or small it is. You don't have to qualify it by saying it's probably not important to anyone else. Because who cares what anyone else thinks? Be proud of yourself and the things that you've achieved personally. And professionally, Ben says on Twitter, I became a high school teacher in August after going back to school and graduating with my second degree in May. Congratulations, Ben. That's amazing. My mom would be really proud of you. Let's see. Another one that I just saw from a listener to our show, Adam on Twitter. One thing I'm most proud of, although I guess I shouldn't call him Adam. I should address him as Sergeant. One thing I'm most proud of in my personal life is I was promoted to the rank of Sergeant. May not seem like a great feat, but at my department it is. Love you and the show, Amy, Sergeant Mack. Congratulations, Sergeant Mack. That is a huge accomplishment. Stepping up and being put into a position of leadership is always something to be proud of. I know some of you are weighing in on Facebook as well. I've seen some really cool ones, and I love that other listeners are reading your posts and are responding. John says, December 3rd, 2019, one full year of sobriety. Amazing. That is absolutely something to be proud of, and I see other listeners are congratulating John as well. Jim on Facebook, started my own business. See how uplifting this is? I love it. I'm so proud of you guys. All right, we'll get your calls. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I love, love, love your answers. I'm telling you what. You guys are filling my heart with joy. I love all of the achievements and accomplishments that you're so proud of. I'm so proud of you. And some of them are more personal, some of them more professional, but thank you for sharing them with us. This is our Twizzler Tuesday question, and you can find us on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then Chris is retweeting a bunch of them from our show Twitter. Armando says on Facebook, proud of my mom going through all her treatments and she is now cancer-free. Way to go, mom. Yeah, those kinds of achievements and accomplishments are life-changing. And certainly the experience of going through cancer treatments, both the individual as well as the people who love that individual, you are never going back to your life the way it was. It changes your perspective. It changes your heart. It maybe changes your values and the recognition of what matters most in life. And it's amazing to be able to celebrate a victory with someone who is now cancer-free. So that's awesome, Armando. Thank you so much for that. Again, on Facebook or on Twitter. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Joe is listening in Michigan. Joe, what are you most proud of in 2019?
Well, first off, you know, it's funny, all these guys, like, come get me, come get me. It's like something in a horror movie when, like, you know, the main character visits, like, a hospital or a house and the, you know, little kids that are trapped there, you know, help, help, come get me. So I think that's hilarious. But, you know, what I was saying when I first called in is I'm grateful for a couple of things. I'm happy for a couple of things. One, you don't hear any NFL arrests this year. I don't know if I've maybe not been, like, you know, following as closely.
Wait, that's what you're proud of, Joe? Is that no one's got arrested in the NFL?
Yes, yes. This, you know, I'm ecstatic for that. Number two, I'm ecstatic for the quote-unquote draft pros being wrong. I remember going into this year, they said the rookie wide receiver class was, you know, god-awful. And, like, you know, just some of these rookies this year, Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown, DK Metcalf, Debo Samuel. I mean, we're talking, like, you know, impactful players on teams. Hollywood Brown and Darius Slayton. That's the one I was forgetting. I mean, you know, we have some studs after, you know, we hear all the draft pros saying how bad these receivers are. And last but not least, I'm happy that podcasts are alive. You know, I heard
all 4,392,821 of them. Yes, they are alive for sure.
But it's awesome because you get to hear players' voices who you never heard before. I mean, Glover Quinn went on the radio the other day, and unfortunately I'm a Lions fan, and he's telling us how the Detroit Lions would have the players pay for their own dinners at the team facility until Caldwell got there and changed that around. I mean, you know, it's not hard to figure out why, you know, you have dumpster fire organizations like the Browns and the Lions, and then there's organizations like the Baltimore Ravens that it seems like every couple of years, players just want to go play for Ozzie Newsome and Harbaugh and, you know, Biscotti. They love their team. No, the players don't love the Lions. They don't love the Browns. You know, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, that's my two cents. And I'll be honest with you. This is the first time I ever heard your voice or even your show. I just turned on my radio for the first time. And I love your enthusiasm. So keep it up. You have a Twitter handle or something I can follow you at? It's the first time I've ever heard you, but you got great enthusiasm.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yes, you can find us on A-Law Radio, or find me on at A-Law Radio. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you.
Happy Christmas to you, Joe. I have enthusiasm. He had all kinds of enthusiasm and energy. Also, no one's ever had to ask me my Twitter handle. I guess he just tuned in the last like 30 seconds. Thank you, Joe, for the phone call. Mitchell is listening in Cleveland. Mitchell, welcome to After Hours.
Wow, Amy. Hey, this is my first time ever getting on your show.
Sweet.
I remember one time I called and my phone died when I was on hold.
Oh, no. It's better than snoring. We catch people snoring, which is worse.
Yeah, I have heard. But listen, I am so, you know, I'm first of all, I want to say I'm really upset with Josh Gordon. I'm totally blind, and I lost my sight at the age of 16, but I always wanted to play football. In my neighborhood, I had the speed, I had the hands, and everybody in the neighborhood wanted me on their football team. But unfortunately, I lost my sight. So after losing my sight, and this is what I'm so thankful for, after I lost my sight, I said, okay, God, if this is the way that you want me to live, then I'm going to work at being the best blind person that I could be. And the only reason I would want to see again is to see my children play. And I've been blind for years, so I don't think I would want my sight back to see the things that's going on now. And on top of that, Amy, I feel that I'm blessed because I was able to see for 60 years. Mm. And I have came across people that have never saw before. And I always look at it as like, I don't look at it as a handicap, but I look at it as being handicapable because I have truly been blessed. And people used to always say before my mother passed away, what's going to happen with your blind son when you're gone? And she used to always say, I'm not going to worry about him. It's the ones that can see that I worry about.
Great wisdom from your mom.
Yeah, I'm a preschool teacher. I have my own youth organization. I have my own youth organization. So I am just thankful. I'm really thankful for being blind because when I was 16, I wasn't the best kid in the world. And I really tell people all the time, this is what God saw something that he needed to change my life. And so he's changed my life. Has taken my sight. And I don't complain about it. I don't complain about it. That's why I feel like Josh Gordon really don't know. Some people really don't know when they're blessed, when they're truly blessed.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. So but he also battles a lot of demons too, but you have a great perspective there, Mitchell. And I can only imagine how awesome your preschoolers think you are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This one little girl met me for the first time, and she said, you don't even have to tell me why you got on those shades. You're blind.
Oh, yes. Preschoolers will say anything that comes to their brains.
Yes. But she held up her fingers, and she said, how many fingers I held up?
Oh, my gosh.
I said, three. And at the time, she's four. She's like, now I'm confused. So I knew she...
That's awesome. I love it.
But Amy, you are great. I love your show. I listen to you every night, even though I'm supposed to be up at like 6 o'clock in the morning to work. But I love your show, and you have said some things that really some nights get me through my day sometimes. So thank you. And another thing I'm blessed for that I'm able to listen to your show.
Oh, well, you're very sweet, Mitchell, and we're glad to have you on board. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
All righty.
Merry Christmas to you. Let's talk to Lito, who's in Houston. Welcome to After Hours. What are you proud of in 2019?
Well, I'm proud of, first of all, I'm a 6-year listener to your show, and I love your show. I call every once in a while, you know, and I'm on the radio. And but I'm proud of my son. I come from the barrio, you know. I come from, you know, we were not well fortunate when growing up as a kid, and you know, we had a rough, but my family are doing good, and my son, he's the oldest. He's 30 years old now, and he's now become – he was working at the Pentagon and Marines, a staff sergeant. Now he's a drill instructor in Camp Pendleton, and he graduated this year. So I'm so proud of him, you know, and that's really – I'm blessed to have good kids, you know.
Well, that's a reflection on their dad, their parents. So that's awesome. You must be really proud.
Oh, I'm proud of all my kids. And also, I'm thankful to have you on the show, to hear your show every morning. I mean, every morning when I'm driving at night, excuse me. But, yeah, it's awesome to hear you, and I'm proud to have you listen on the radio, Amy. So, yeah, have a good evening, and Merry Christmas.
All right, Lito, Merry Christmas to you. I appreciate hearing from you. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Ron says on Facebook, I'm proud of completing 10 marathons this year for a total of 49 overall. Oh my gosh. I can manage about one half marathon a year. He says, in honor of my dear father who passed away from Parkinson's in 2008. Ron, that is truly incredible. Truly incredible. Aaron says on Facebook, in September, I became a father to a little boy. Awesome. Congratulations. Let's see if I'm working another call here. Bill is in Wisconsin. Bill, you got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Hi, Amy. I'm most proud of. I'm 61 years old, and yesterday I passed 2,000 miles riding my bicycle this year.
Whoa! 2,000 miles!
Just came out of the blue, and talking to you now, although it's 3 a.m. and it's 17 degrees, you pumped me up. I might go ride my bike right now.
Oh my gosh, well, be careful. I actually have family that live in Wisconsin, so maybe you've heard me talk about them, but I have an uncle who later in life, he's in his 60s, later in life, he decided to take up riding his bike, and he does also ride thousands of miles per year, and he does it in all kinds of weather, because again, he's in Wisconsin, the Appleton area, and I'm always so impressed. Doesn't matter if it's rain or shine, he takes that bicycle out, and he pedals his heart to his heart's content. That's phenomenal.
And I love it because you're by yourself and you just get to think, and it's peaceful.
Good. Well, that's amazing. Hopefully it helps you stay healthy and live a lot more years on this earth, Bill.
Thank you, Amy. I love your show.
Thank you, Bill. Plus, Wisconsin is God's country. It's just, it's great there. I would love to retire in Wisconsin, although retirement's a long, long, long way off. But I would love to retire in Wisconsin out in the middle of nowhere. Cow country is what I call it, where my Grammy Helen not only was born, but spent the first 70 years of her life. I'm trying to think. She was born on a farm. And then at about age 20, they moved into town. And then she lived in that same small town. Right now, doesn't even have a population of 1,000 people. She lived in that town for the next 70 years before she recently moved over to be closer to my uncle in the Appleton area. But yeah, that's God's country. I'm telling you, it's quiet. It's a different kind of quiet and peaceful at a slow pace of life. That's my kind of living. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.